12:03 back on the Fan. BT and Sal. Brandon Tierney, Sal the Cotta Show. Minus Sal today. All right, the crown top story of the day is very simple. How can we trust the Jets with the most basic stuff? And how do we expect them to have a successful season when we can't expect them to handle the basic stuff? That's what worries me. You know, and it might seem like an odd day to talk about the Jets. First of all, it's never an odd day to talk about football here, ever, Jets or Giants. But he just got back from Egypt. You know, we put the Rodgers talk on hiatus for a little bit. You know, there was the fervor when he wasn't there and the sloppy press conference, which really is the root of what bothers me about the Jets. You know, football and distractions in this city, whether it's injuries, whether it's holdouts, whether it's, you know, coaches on the hot seat, the noise is real. I mean, it is omnipresent and it's stifling, all right? And that's just like when it gets, that's like when it's small. When it gets big, that's it. It's next level problematic. So to me, I look at a head coach in the NFL for this city. How do you handle the small stuff? And I haven't seen Robert Saleh handle the small stuff well at all. At all. Now, fundamentally, I had an issue with the Jets allowing Aaron Rodgers to go to Egypt. I just did. I know you're not going to force him. I get that. I do admit that it was a delicate balance only because they gave him the keys to the kingdom out of desperation. He could do whatever he wants. And he's no dummy. He's going to manipulate and exercise that power when it fits him, like going to Egypt when the rest of his teammates are working hard. Now, I know he's been here for almost everything else. It's not the point. There's symbolism there. I also would have liked Aaron Rodgers to want to be here. I think that matters. But putting all that aside, because let's face it, Aaron Rodgers in shorts for, you know, 2 or 3 days in June is not going to derail the Jets season. Just not. He knows the playbook. He knows the team. He's familiar with the surroundings by now. It's not year one. So that's not even the issue. The issue is something's going to go wrong this year because it always does. Even for the Chiefs, you know, the elite team, something goes wrong. The Niners, you know, how do they handle it? Well, the key is to diffuse it rather than to amplify it. And that's what worries me about the Jets. This little Rodgers thing, not being there, going to Egypt, coming back, going to UFC. I just feel like they're going to trip on the small stuff. And if you can't handle the small stuff, how do you handle the big stuff? 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Also, obviously, talking about that Mets bullpen, Luis Gil. I think it's the biggest start by a Yankee starter so far this season. Tonight, his April was his May was all time. His June was awful. Who is he? Who is he? And I think many of you are still sleeping on the departure of Hartenstein. Not that you're happy that he's gone, but I think many of you are glossing over what he meant to this team. And I don't get it because I know you know basketball, but man, he fit. All right, so we got a lot of things going on. Tommy's in Belmar. Tommy, BT and Sal on the Fan. What's up, Tom? Tommy.
Okay, BT. Whoa. Okay, BT.
All right, man.
How you doing, brother?
What's going on?
All right, so yesterday you told me my Hartenstein analogy was wrong with Matt Flynn, which is okay.
Yep.
But we were talking about it before with Aaron Rodgers. BT, let me ask you a question. When's the last time, the last 2 years, the Jets had a 13-point lead?
Never.
Like, Aaron Rodgers is, it's not the touchdowns you throw, it's when you throw them.
Mm-hmm.
And can you imagine this defense with a 10, like in the second quarter with a 10, 13-point lead? Pat Mahomes, good luck.
Yep.
Because let me tell you, dude, we don't even know what this DC scheme is. When you're up 13, he's never had it.
I know.
And by the way, Tom, chomping at the bit, bro.
Oh, me too.
God, give me a 13-point lead. Let me show you what I could do.
Well, it's what excites me, and I think that's what excites Jets fans. And by the way, Tommy, it's not just being able to deploy the defense differently, which obviously matters. Now you just pin the ears back. You become, you know, you get out to multiple score lead. The other team's going to become predictable and in all likelihood abandon the run, blah, blah, blah. You know what's coming. You got a pass rush, which they do. You get after it, fumble, you know, blindside hits, and here we go. Jets by 27 points. They win going away. Like, that's, we can all envision that. That's the deployment stuff. That's the schematic stuff. But the other thing, too, is they just got to be fresh. I mean, you know, when they're, if the offense, and they're going to with Rodgers, just sustain some drives. 7 minutes here, a little 8 minute chip away there. God forbid, 9 minutes. And the defense's tank is full. And that's going to manifest itself in the fourth quarter. You never get that. But this year you could. Let me get Ernie in Millburn. BT and Sal. What up, Ern?
Hey, BT. How are you, man?
I'm good, buddy. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day. Good day to watch some baseball. Listen,
yeah.
I think, you know, if I really think a lot about this. If Senga comes back, right, and if they give up, they're going to have to give up a boatload to get a front-end starter like a guy like Bobby Crochet from the Sox.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think one piece in the bullpen is enough? Because you're right. You can't make five deals at the deadline. There's not enough prospects to do that. Do you think you can get by if Peterson is, if last night's Peterson, the last two Petersons are the real Peterson? Can you get by with a starter and one pen guy if Senga comes back?
Now, can you get by in terms of maybe, you know, winning 84, 85 games and getting that last wild card? Maybe. I don't think I'd want to roll the dice on that equation because I'm not sure it's going to end up favorable. Can you win anything with that? No. No, you can't win anything with that. But it doesn't mean you can't maybe backdoor and sneak in a wild card. Maybe.
Yeah, but the bats seem to be, and I know bats go cold. We've seen it with the Yankees, right? Bats can go cold in October.
Yeah.
But is the offense enough? I don't know. I wouldn't be upset. I wouldn't be terribly upset as a lifelong Met fan if that's what they come away at the deadline with, is those two moves.
Well, I mean, listen, you have to understand, and it's not a bad call. I think you're kind of on the money with that. You're not going to reverse pivot now and start abandoning your strategy, which is building for the future and fortifying the minors here. All right. I mean, I really don't. This is the low-hanging fruit because you say this and everything changes. You could sign Trevor Bauer. You could sign him. You could put him in a bullpen. Hey, Trevor, here is a league veteran minimum contract, and there's no guarantees you're starting. You want to come back to the States and pitch, yes or no? You want to be in the middle of a playoff race in New York City? Hey, if you got to pitch the sixth inning, that's what you're doing until further notice. Are you interested? He doesn't make you better? He does. Do the Mets have the stomach for that? I don't know. We've had this discussion a lot, and we have this discussion pertaining to the Yankees as well. You know, me and Sal had Trevor Bauer here. I don't even like to in studio for an hour. It's on YouTube. Go check it out. I don't even like to really get into this because then it hijacks the whole show. I'm not going to let that happen. But all I'm saying is there's a cheap option that's going to provide 2 or 3 days worth of PR blowback who will allow you to keep all of your farmhands and not disrupt the bigger plan while adding to this season. Yeah, so imagine this team with Senga and Bauer. Not bad. Now you can get a little greedy there. 888-808-1019. John in Freehold, what's happening, John?
Hey, good afternoon, BT. How are you, my friend?
John, my longtime Knicks buddy. What's up, Johnny?
I'm doing well, man. How are you, my friend?
I'm good.
I can't believe what I'm hearing, BT. I'm on the same sheet of music with you regarding Hartenstein. To me, that's a major blow, a major loss. People are underestimating his value to the team, what he did, how good he actually is, as far as his passing, his shooting, his rebounding, and the complete game that he brings. He handled New York. He was a perfect fit on this team, and he definitely contributed to their winning ways. And the thing with Mitchell Robinson, Omar's out of his mind. Omar made a statement to you that I can't believe you didn't call him out on. He said nobody's better than Mitchell Robinson. I guess he hasn't seen Rudy Gobert play in the league, a multiple-time all-defensive player of the year award winner in the NBA. Mitchell Robinson hasn't won one of those. Listen, the thing with Mitchell Robinson is there's no question he's a talented player. He's athletic. He can rebound the basketball, but he cannot hit his free throws. He has no offensive game or go-to move of any kind. He hasn't had it since he entered the league. He hasn't gotten any better in that regard.
Nope.
He's a liability on the floor in late-game situations. And with him missing all these games, BP, this Eastern Conference has improved immensely.
Mm-hmm.
Your seeding position is very important. So when he goes down, not only do you lose what he gives you as far as his defense and his rebounding as a player when he's on the floor, but he also affects your seeding And that's going to be major to the Knicks. They're going to have that home court advantage in this deeper, more talented Eastern Conference. And wait, Miami Heat hasn't even struck yet. And Orlando's an up-and-coming team that's made some improvements as well.
Yeah.
So with that being said, everybody just says, oh, Leon Rose is going to go out there and find somebody. It's not that simple. You look at what's left on the free agent market, it's nothing. There's nobody. I thought Valanciunas would have been a good fit.
Well,
he went to Washington. He's no longer available to the Knicks.
I know.
I thought he would have been a good option.
Yeah.
But this is the modern-day NBA, BT. The thing that makes the Boston Celtics so dangerous is every player on the floor can legitimately score. They're a threat. Whether they're a major threat or a minor threat, they have the ability to score. They're versatile. The Knicks don't have that right now at the center position with Mitchell Robinson or anybody else because Jericho Sims doesn't have the offensive game. He's not ready for prime time yet, and they're going to have to address that issue. Now, Omar said something else regarding Porzingis' injury history, and he's correct about that. However, they have a grizzled veteran in Al Horford. Yeah, he's slowed down. He's not the same player he once was, but he could bury a three. He's got all kinds of experience. He could defend, and he could rebound in place of Porzingis, and he was a major factor in the finals. So you got to look at what you're dealing with. And the reason why Robinson's a problem is because you have two more injury-prone guys on your roster, Randall and an OG, and you can't have three. So my thing was I would have moved on from Mitchell Robinson, especially after the Mikal Bridges trade, recoup some draft capital, and I got two ideas for you regarding Hardenstein's replacement. One's a trade, the other one's a free agent.
Good.
So trade-wise, I'm going to trade Deuce McBride and draft capital to the Detroit Pistons, and I'm going to try to extract Jalen Doran out of there.
Okay.
Jalen Doran is younger than Mitchell Robinson.
I got you.
He's more athletic.
Yep.
Got a more complete game. And with this coaching staff, I think he's a plug-and-play guy that would take his game to another level, be a perfect fit for the
Knicks. I don't want to give up Deuce McBride. John, I don't want to give up Deuce. I just don't want to give him up. Now, when we – thanks for the call there, John. We had that talk, and the word was that over the weekend, like, this bothered me. I'm seeing – wait. What is this? The Knicks might throw in Deuce McBride to complete the Bridges trade? No, we can't let that happen. Just to get some money and to maybe open up a little wiggle room for Hartenstein? What? No. Even with an assurance from Hartenstein, I still didn't want to do that. That's how much I like Deuce. He just fits. I mean, listen, the one thing about the Knicks, and I hear you, John, on seeding, Eastern Conference going to be tighter. Celtics are champions. Sixers reloaded. Magic are young and up and coming. Cavaliers are tough. I'm leaving out a few. Pacers obviously beat the Knicks, although if the Knicks were healthy, I think the Knicks would have won. I think we all think that. But you don't have to do it now. You don't have to do it now. You can address this at the trade deadline. So there is urgency to rack up as many wins as you can. But the one thing about this Knicks team, one of the great things, one of the many good things about this team, is that it's probably odd to sit here on July 2nd and talk about the playoffs, but I see this team, much like last year's playoff team, going into any building and being able to win. Like, this Knicks team is not built on being protected by the Garden crowd and having the Garden crowd's the best. It's not a shot, but it's an acknowledgement of their fortitude and their ability to go on the road and win. Their ability to go into Philly and take over the building. This is our house. You know, you might pay, and you might be wearing the home uniforms. We own you today. This is our crib, you know? And they could do that in Indianapolis when they're healthy. They could do that in Boston, I believe, if they get another five there. So not worried about that. It's not an urgency to get a replacement now. It's, man, this guy was perfect for the Knicks and they lost him. But it's nobody's fault. Nobody's fault, you know? You can't blame. I mean, if you're blaming, and this applies to a very small percentage of you, if you're blaming Leon Rose, you're lost, dude. Oh, Leon Rose. And thankfully, I haven't heard this much because there is sophistication and intellect within the Knicks fan base. How does Leon Rose let him go? Hey, because they gave him almost double what they could. You know, Oklahoma City gave him 30 mil. Knicks don't have his entire bird rights. It's legal stuff. It's CBA stuff. It's nobody's fault. Let me get Jeff in Philly. Oh, Philly. Jeff, what's going on, bud?
Yeah, we talked, BT. I'm a Knicks fan in Philly.
But, I remember.
Hartenstein, I am devastated. I love the guy. And I think he brought so much, like everyone's saying, to the Knicks. I think the good thing is we have Tibbs. There is a hole, and he'll figure a way to fill it. I think we might have to play small. I might have to move Randall to the five, you know, and be, you know, have a, you know, and do things different. I think we're just going to have to play differently because I don't think we're going to fix it. Not this year, at least. Maybe later.
Well,
and the other thing I wanted to ask you is, do you think Hartenstein would have taken less? How much less do you think he would have taken to stay with the Knicks? Because I think he would have taken a little bit less.
I can't answer that, Jeff. It would just be a complete guess. As many have been able to deduce, he loved it here, but he's no dummy. I mean, I don't know the exact tax implications in Oklahoma, but I know it's more favorable than here. Like pretty much everywhere else except California. So if he's making 30 there, let's say he would have taken 20 here. All right. So, but it like, well, they couldn't even get him up to 20. That's the problem. So they're going to get him up to 17. So there's a $13 million difference right there. 17 in New York is, I mean, I'm just guessing here. I know Boomer's good on the taxes. It's got to be like 35 to 38 there. And 30 there has to be almost more like 40. And it's not like he went and he joined some downtrodden team. They're on the rise. And he's going to be in the middle. Patty, what are you punching up? Numbers there? What do you got? You got some tax stuff?
No.
Oh, I thought that's what you were doing.
No. I was doing something else.
Oh, well, what are you doing?
No, I was responding to a text.
Hmm. What's your name?
Jonathan.
No, some of my roommates.
You have more than one roommate?
It was three of us, and then the one got engaged, sucker. So now he's living with her.
Okay.
And now
he's out, you got a little more freedom?
Now it's me and the other guy.
Three bedroom or two?
No, it's two. We moved to a two.
Who shared the bedroom?
Well, we had three. It was a three bedroom. We were living in Hoboken.
Oh, so you moved. Once he got engaged, you moved to a different spot.
Yeah, correct.
Nice. What are they charging a month now for two? Are you still in Hoboken?
No,
where'd you go?
I moved to Bayonne, which is 20 minutes south of Hoboken.
Yeah, I know exactly where it is.
Yeah, Hoboken, Jersey City, Bayonne.
I used to live in Hoboken. I got you.
Three-bedroom Hoboken.
Let me guess. Were you up by the shipyards, up on uptown, like by the ferry,
We were on 7th.
So you're in the middle.
Almost
smack dab
in the middle of Hoboken, a little bit to the left.
So by Vito's. My guy Vito over there. Okay, Vito's. Shout out. I love Vito. I used to go there all the time when I lived there. I would say a three-bedroom in Hoboken now. Was it a walk-up or an elevator?
It had probably an elevator.
Oh, it did.
But not like a nice new one.
I got you.
It had an elevator.
Any outdoor space?
Not private, no.
See, that's clutch when you say, you know, you got to have the outdoor space. Yeah, I'm going to say something like that, 38, 4,000.
The three of us?
Yeah.
We were paying the last year, it was 34.
How close? There you go.
But here's the thing. We got in January of 21, the second wave of COVID.
Yeah.
So we got in for a steal, and they could only raise us 8% each year.
So you guys got in like in the
twos? We got in 2850.
Wow.
In 2021.
2850?
Now you get in for 2850 in a three-bed, you're probably living with rats.
I trust me. I've been there. I had a walk-up. Not that I had rats, but... Although I did see one once. I had a walk-up on the Upper West Side, and I think I moved in there in like 04, and I think I was paying. It was right by Central, so it was a good spot. One bedroom, just me. I couldn't live with anybody at that age. There's no way I could. I was like, I was 30. I was 29. There's no way. No way. There's no way I could do that. I was around 27 then. Ugh.
Yeah. And literally 6 months after we moved in, because that's when things, you know, it's the summer of 21, things are opening up.
Yeah.
These three kids are asking what we were paying. They said the same building.
Yeah.
Same exact unit. They wanted 45 6 months later.
God, what a racket, man.
But yeah, so two beds in Hoboken, unless you're living in a, you know, a crap box.
Yeah.
You know, you're paying $4,000 basically.
I get it. 888-808-1019. But you're paying that for your freedom, Patty, so it's worth it, buddy.
That's right. But the place I got in Bayonne, you pick it up and move in Hoboken, you might as well double the price.
Okay. So you upgraded the spot a little further away, but you got some more room.
Yeah. And
that's
the commute
awesome. The commute that
I take to get here is essentially the same. If I'm driving at a night or a weekend, or if I'm taking light rail path, it's essentially the same amount of time anyway.
I know the area. All right, we're inside of our Town Fair Tire Studio. Friends of Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Got Yankee tickets coming up. Back to these calls. The Mets pen. Rogers back from Egypt. Little Hartenstein. Knicks fallout. BT and Sal on the fan. BT and Sal. And I will be off tomorrow. Sal will be in, but another chance to get some Yankee tickets. The 54-32 New York Yankees. I know it doesn't seem like they're 54-32. They've lost 7 of 10. It seems like the roof's caving in. Pitching's imploded. The bats are dormant for the most part outside of Judge and basically one or two others. So, you know, that doesn't mean that all is lost in the Yankee universe, but it sure as hell doesn't mean all is right. Yeah, the Yankees need a productive trade deadline. That's it. You know, I've been saying it for a while now. This team right now is not built to win a World Series. They're not. Doesn't mean they can't get there, but they're going to have to reshuffle the deck a bit. And it's frustrating when you have a payroll top three again, and here we are saying you need this, you need that, you need this, you need that. I mean, imagine building a home for like an exorbitant amount of money, whatever is relatively exorbitant to you. You build the home from the studs. You move in, and, you know, 3 months after you move in, your wife's like, oh, well, you know, we need these new doors. That's going to run us $25,000. We need sod in the backyard. That's going to cost $15,000. We got to redo the deck because they didn't do this right. We need speakers. We need, and then you're, you know, a couple of hundred, I know this is a lot of money, a couple of $100,000 in the hole again. I just built the house. Why am I adding all of this after I built it? It should have been built when I built it. And that's always been my pushback with the Yankees. When you build it, build it. And they don't seem to build it effectively enough. On a big positive here, let's just say, let's have a little fun. Although, hold on. Hoff, can you look up, while I'm doing something quickly, because I know the All-Star break, how many games the Yankees actually have in July? Just give me the number. I'm going to say 20. I don't know. I'm just throwing something out. Aaron Judge, God, he's amazing, is projected to hit 58 home runs. I think he's going over it. To have 154 RBIs. Wow. To walk over 100 times. To have almost 180 hits. To score 122 runs. And more importantly, to play 158 games. Boy, knock on that wood, right? So how many games do they have left here, Hoff, in the neighborhood-ish?
Ish. 24 in total in July.
Okay, thank you. So 24 in this month. Now, I mean, if he replicates June, he's going to hit 70-something home runs. We can't expect that. Can we? Let's say Aaron Judge has a quiet July. And a quiet July for him, and this would be really quiet, let's say, 8 home runs in 24 games, a third of the time. And let's say 12 is ridiculously low. Let's go with 13 RBIs. So now all of a sudden, the 31 home runs that he has gets jacked up to 39, and the 82 RBIs by virtue of a 13 projected RBI month here gets, you know, rocketed up to, where's he at again? I'm sorry, 82, 92, to right around 95, give or take a couple. Imagine if on August 1st he has 39 home runs and 95 RBIs. And by the way, he's going to have more than that. He is insane. I don't know what Babe Ruth looked like in real time, you know, but did he really, truly look better than this? How can you? Yeah. Let's get back to the calls here. How about John and Myrtle Beach? John, BT and Sal, what's going on?
BT, what's going on? Man, great to talk to you. Awesome show today.
Appreciate that, John. How have you been hitting the golf courses out there? You know, I love Myrtle. Where are you playing? What are you doing?
I have been. I've been working on the game. I'm a member guest this weekend at the TPC, and I'm jacked up.
Oh, there, okay. I know. I played the TPC not well, but I know the TPC very well. All right, there you go. Nice. Yeah.
There you go. So, and by the way, Aaron Judge is Babe Ruth. Sorry, I mean, that's maybe blasphemous. The dude's ridiculous.
He's insane.
He's insane. Now, you know, I'm a Mets fan through and through, but I would flip the channel to watch his at-bats. He's nuts. So I think my team has a real emergency, and I'm super excited about how they're playing. But I think they got to do something about the pen. I don't think we could live 3 weeks like this.
Yeah, I agree.
Hey, man, last night I could have killed myself. Last night, I'm like, what is going on here? And even Gary, you could tell Gary was like, all right, the last time we saw this was against the Cubs. You know, he's like hearkening back to the '70s.
Oh,
for how
how bad this is.
Listen, for Mets fans outside of 73, you know, the 70s is never a good point of reference for Mets fans.
They were terrible. God. So what do you think? Do you think they have the wherewithal to take a guy like McGill and slide him into the pen? I mean, we always pick on McGill, but get Christian Scott up here and make a move that doesn't even have a payroll implication to help.
They will. Pen. No, he's coming up. He's pitching tomorrow, right, Pat? He's pitching tomorrow, Christian Scott.
Is he?
Yeah, he's coming up.
Huh.
You go.
I love it. I was at his last pitched game up there, so that's cool. I like that guy.
Yep.
But they hopefully they get some people somewhere. Bring them up. Bring anybody up. But man, I just can't watch these guys get rolled out there.
The crazy thing, John, thanks for the call, is that, you know, I mean, I'm not a Met fan, so emotionally I'm not connected to it like you are, and Sal and Hoff and, you know, the other Met fans. But I would imagine that more Met fans last night walked away feeling distressed about the way they won rather than, like, further galvanized how they took the lead. 3-run bomb by Martinez, you know. Iglesias, you know, scrapes the back fence, home run. You know, Alvarez roping a massive, his first triple. So, he almost hit a home run. He missed that by a half a foot or so. Boy, oh boy, this is. So, we just a little fun here. I mean, not fun, but not fun for Met fans. 1977, they won 64 games. Oh, my God. And then they won 66. And then in 1979, they were 63-99. Lean years, but beyond that at this point, Carl's on Long Island. Carl, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing? I was listening, and I heard, I took issue with one thing you said about how the Yankees aren't built to win a World Series. All right, the Diamondbacks won 88 games last year. No one said they're built to win the World Series.
Did they win the World Series? Did they win?
No, but neither the Rangers, too. I mean, no one expected these teams to make it. It's a crapshoot. I mean, should they add at the deadline? Yeah. But they have a good enough team.
Carl, let me ask you something. You say it's a crapshoot. I do grant you this, and I do agree. It's become more of a crapshoot. Actually, baseball's not alone. Even look at, this is random, but a random poll. Look at the NCAA tournament in basketball. It's become.
You're right. It's sad.
That's a different. I can't stand it, the way it's become. Oh, wow. But it's very random. Major League Baseball, more random. Who would have thought the Mets would have had a chance to mess around to do something based on the way they looked for half of the season? They do. You mentioned the Diamondbacks a year ago. 84 wins. Got to the World Series. Rangers, too. They won it. So there is randomness has permeated sports. I do understand that. The Knicks were a 2-seed this year. They really had no business being a 2-seed, if you really think about it. But I don't think it's by accident that the Yankees have not won since 2009, despite the randomness, which means they have not been built properly, and I still don't think that they are. You tell me why I'm wrong.
What does built properly mean?
Well, it's a great question. Built properly means you don't have automatic outs. You don't have high strikeout guys. You don't have guys who can't run. Like, you just, when they won, they had guys who would put the bat on the ball. Most guys can move a little. Even O'Neill one year stole 20-something bases as an aging outfielder. Girardi stole 20 bags as a catcher. Like, they were more athletic, and they had more competitive, less empty at-bats. That's what I mean by being built the right way.
I gotcha. Thanks for acknowledging at least. It is a little bit random, and as long as you get there, you got a chance.
Okay, I'm not going to disagree with that last assertion. You get there, you got a chance, sure. And you have a better chance, which is my main point about the Yankees today. Your chances soar if Luis Gil starts to rack in, you know, or starts racking up those whiffs again, starts dominating. Big start for him tonight. I mean, worried is the wrong word. No, am I worried? I got to be honest, it's kind of moving in that direction. But I'm going to stop short of worried, and I would say I'm on alert. Like, how many bad starts, despite all the amazing ones, the scintillating ones that he had early in May, can you say, it's early, or it's not a big deal? I think we're kind of at that expiration point. So if he throws a gem, win or lose, that makes you feel better. And if Gerrit Cole is Cole and Luis Gil is who we think he could be or was, then they're less reliant on the lineup to win, you know? But no, I don't think that this lineup 1-9 is built to win. They got 2.5 hitters, as I said. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Now time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brenton Tierney and Sal Licata.
Yeah, like this. Oh, yeah. All right, so no Sal today. So Hoff gets to sit in the studio, which means Patty B. We'll drop the questions on us. A little bold-faced lie, bold-faced truth. What do you got there, Pat?
That's right. All right, BT, we'll start with you here. Luis Gil coming off back-to-back rocky starts, taking the bloom off the rose of a season that looked like it was going to culminate and start in the All-Star game. Starting on May 1st, Gil went 7 straight starts, going 6 innings or more. Since then, it's been 4 straight starts under 6 innings pitched, specifically 5 2/3, 5 1/3, or 5+, I should say, 1 1/3.
They get a question in here at some point or no? I mean, this guy, every week he does it, he's like, I understand he wants some airtime. I remember Sal saying the same thing to you. Come on, get to the question, man.
Well, I'm giving you some good details. All right, so I know you said Heels start tonight. It's going to be the most important of the season.
Yes.
His over-under outs recorded tonight is 16.5, which equates to 5 1/3 innings.
Yeah.
Ball face lie, ball face truth. Luis Gil goes over 16.5 outs recorded, a.k.a. he pitches at least 5 2/3 innings.
Oh, my God. Yes, thanks for that last-second translation of the air. Bold-face truth. I do think he's going to pitch well. I don't know that we see, like, you know, 11 whiffs and 1 strike. I think that his command is off. And I'm also rooting this in hope as much as I am recent evidence. He has not pitched well. Even going back, you said last 2 starts. You know, last 4 or 5, going back to that Dodgers game where he was failing to put guys away when he was up at the count, been a little problematic. But I do think against the Reds here, there's only a handful of hitters in that lineup. You can navigate that. Bold-faced truth, he gets at least, 16 outs, whatever you said there?
Yeah, so he has to pitch at least 5 2/3.
Yep. Bold-faced truth. Hoff, what about you?
Definitely bold-faced.
You hater.
Yeah, I know. But definitely bold-faced lie.
Hater.
Listen, Gil is struggling, but I don't think he's going to struggle a lot today. But he's still, his big thing is the whip. He has always allowed a lot of walks and hits, and that's where he struggles at. Maybe he won't give up a lot of runs, but he definitely won't get that 5 1/3 plus.
Just the pitch count's going to go up?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's been pecking away. Like, it's weird, too, because sometimes, you know, young hitters, they struggle to put guys away because they nibble and they pick. He's just like, if you can visualize, his slider's like, it's off by a foot. Like, he's just off. So, I don't know. I actually see what you mean there. I'm thinking he bounces back, but I don't think it's crazy what Hoff just said. I got you.
Okay, Hoff, next one's you. Keeping with the theme of young promising pitchers, we briefly mentioned just before the return of Christian Scott back up to the big leagues. Tyler McGill finally sent down.
Thank
as
God.
If we needed to wait any longer. Anyway, Christian Scott back in the rotation. He made 5 starts all in May to the tune of a 3.90 ERA across 27 2/3 innings. Starting tomorrow night in D.C., bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth. Christian Scott will make a start in October this year.
Wow. Jeez.
Bold.
Ooh, this really puts him on the ropes here because now you get a sense, does he really think the Mets still get to the playoffs? Does he think they make a trade for a starter? Go ahead, I'm all ears on this one.
It's a bald-faced lie because Christian Scott will not be part of their October plans. I think that with Senga, with Severino, and
Quintana?
I think Quintana's going to be gone regardless of what happens. I think he's going to be traded at the deadline no matter what. Huh. I still think that there's other guys that they will be bringing in. They're going to make a trade that's going to be for a starting pitcher that's going to have some length. It's not just going to be a half a year type of guy. That'll probably take over for Christian Scott where they won't need him to start. He may get like an inning or two. Maybe he'll be in the bullpen.
Set up, man.
He's not starting now.
So who's the third guy in that rotation? That Minaya as of now? Or you think it's whoever they make a trade for?
He thinks he's going to get dealt. Quintana's going to get dealt.
I think Quintana's going to get dealt.
How about you sign Bauer?
I wish they would, but he's just not going to be touched. At this point in time, he's performing so well, and nobody wants him. I think it's not this year.
Yeah, well, if not this year, when? I hear you. All right, so I'm going to say that's a bold-faced truth. He will not be in the rotation for the Mets because he might be watching the Mets in the playoffs. He might be watching the playoffs, pardon me. He will not be watching the Mets in the playoffs because the Mets will not be there. They will narrowly miss out. This will be a fun summer. Go ahead. I know it's a segment here, but you want to push back on that. Now's your chance, Hoff. Come on.
You're crazy.
Mets are not going to the playoffs.
This team is riding bullpen. High. They're winning the World Series. Because, and I'm telling you right now,
the World Series.
This is the year. This team is so special right now. They have everything clicking. They have some of the listen, if you go through the history of this team, Pete Alonso, one of the best power hitters in the league. Jeff McNeil, former batting champion, which I know he sucks right now, but maybe something's clicking. He had a couple hits you hit the other day. Lindor's the best shortstop in the league.
You know what's clicking the meter on the taxi waiting to get his ass out of town.
By the way,
click, 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 click. Come on, Jeff.
By the way,
go to the airport. Click,
Francisco Lindor, the best war in baseball as a shortstop.
No, he's been good. He's been good.
Since 2021.
Fantastic. Who'd you rather have, Gunnar Henderson or him? Who would you rather have, Witt or him?
Well, but yeah,
they weren't here in 2021.
Exactly. Well, whatever. The point is the Lindor is one of the best shortstops in baseball.
He's confident. Listen, Hoff has been undeterred. And by the way, I want to make sure I stress this. Not just delusional, like, oh, the Mets are going to be a playoff team no matter what. Like, even when they were at their absolute apex, I thought you were pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
You were pretty calm, taking this in stride. Now, I think that it's a little nutty to think they're going to go to the World Series, but to think they're a playoff team, I think more people feel it than not, even though I don't think they get there.
Couldn't I just ask you one question,
though?
Yeah, sure. You know, and this may be nutty, but did you expect last year the Diamondbacks to make the World Series?
I did not.
Did we expect the Nationals in 2019 to go to the World Series?
Not when they were 19 and 31. I did not.
And anything can happen.
And I'm not saying the door's not ajar. Like, coming into the season, I said no. I said 75, 76 wins.
Right.
Like, that, I didn't even allow my mind to wrap around the possibility because I just didn't think that they were good enough. I'm certainly granting you, there's a real chance. I think they only miss out by a game or two. But, I mean, if I think they're going to miss by a game or two, they very well can make it by a game or two. I'm giving them a chance.
No,
sure.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Just falls short, though.
All right, I got one last quick one. Yeah. 4th of July on Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
Usually make sure to lock in at 12 noon for the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest.
I can't stay. I hate that. It's gross.
Well, this year?
I hate it every year.
Big shakeup.
Nasty.
That loser Joey Chestnut is out.
Loser?
Yeah, he's a loser.
Why is he a loser?
Well, he's a champion. Yeah, because then you had a dispute between him, Nathan's Major League Eating, and all of a sudden his big new handsomely paid sponsor, uh-huh, Impossible Foods, aka vegan hot dogs. So he's out of the competition. Instead, he's going to go against the old rival, Kobayashi, on Netflix on Labor Day. All about the money. Joey Chestnut, loser. He can go scrap. Anyway, we're going to have a lot of guys. I'm sure there's going to be somebody that puts down close to 50. That'll probably be the winner.
Mm-hmm.
Ballface Live, Ballface Truth. You could put down, in a 10-minute span, 4 hot dogs.
1,000% bald-faced truth. Oh, I can hammer them. Now, well, I don't like it. I don't like the event because it's actually repulsive when they drink the water and, like, the bread liquefies and it looks like they got vomit. It's just, it's visually gross. It's gross. But if you gave me, like, in 10 minutes and you gave me, and I was fairly hungry, I could probably have no sauerkraut, just a little bread and mustard for 7-8 hot dogs. Hot dogs are amazing.
Well, not hot dog and bun.
No, I know. Oh, so 7 or 8 is probably a bit ambitious. 4, my eyes shut. Simple. I can do it in 4 minutes.
Yeah, I think this is
simple.
Like, Patty, is this what you're bringing when I'm not here?
Yeah.
I'm disappointed.
What are you doing?
This is like the easiest question. I think everybody in this building could eat 4 hot dogs.
In 10 minutes.
Yes. First of all, I don't like hot dogs.
You don't?
Speaking. No, I don't. But they're so small. They're not like a hamburger. Hamburger's a little bit more meaty, juicy, and stuff like
that. Steak.
Hot dog is a little bit, listen, I know they're the Nathan, so they're a little bit thicker. But still, hot dog is an easy food to scarf down in 10 minutes. I could put down at least double digits, maybe 15. Listen, I talk to most people around here. I think it's, BT, I think you're underselling yourself, too. You could be double digits. I've seen you eat pizza.
Maybe I could. Honestly, maybe. Yeah, I do. I eat fast.
You crush it.
I do. Because I have to. Because we have to get back from break. And no, I eat the pizza fast. You're right. When Jen sent the Heroes, I suck it down quick for my birthday last week. No, I am a fast eater to my chagrin. I just, you know what it is? Because my mind, like I eat fast. I've always, my dad, first of all, I got it from my dad. My dad eats fast.
Yes.
And I don't know if he grew up thinking somebody was going to reach around on the table and take it away from him. I don't know.
It's just a guy thing, dude.
It is. I want to get on to. I got a game to watch. I got to get a game to coach. I want to go get hit golf balls. I always feel like I have something to do.
When Jen says, "Hey, BT or Brandon,
she never BT, goes, never,
okay, BT, Brandon, come sit down, have some dinner." Don't you get a little agitated? Like, I got things to do. Like, I'm just going to scarf real quick, and you'd be sitting there by yourself.
Sometimes I eat like, now when it's the family thing, which, as you know, you have kids, it's tougher with all the events going on. But when we do it, and we do try to do it, even with all the nuttiness, once or twice, try to do it twice a week, where we sit down, even if it's not a 5-course meal, we try to do it. you know, you get the family thing, say the prayer, just do the right thing for us. But when sometimes I just want to like eat by the island and just walk around. And
yeah,
I mean, I have a rough time sitting there, especially because it takes me forever to get my son to eat. Hurry up, finish. Come on, eat. And then I'm like, oh, I can't watch this anymore. Jen, you watch. I got to go do what I got to do. Make sure he finishes eating.
Sundays at the Hoffman House is the pasta with the sauce, the meatballs, Italian bread. Nicole does it up all nice.
She does.
She does.
So you mean the gravy, not the sauce?
It's the sauce.
Are you serving meat with it?
Yeah.
That's gravy.
The bolognese.
Oh, then it's gravy.
No, it's sauce, dude.
No, it's gravy.
I understand that we will differ on
this. Well, Hoffman's not Italian, so what would you know?
Well, Guarente is and Casario is, and that's the other side. That's my other side of the family. And Yezzo, like my wife's name, Yezzo. She's straight up Italian.
Italian and Spanish, right?
JD. JD's half Puerto Rican.
That's right. Oh, what a combo. Well, a lot of emotions, a lot of good food, a lot of passion in that house.
A lot of emotions in
that house.
That
is a good one. All right, buddy.
I just want to reiterate, neither of you are sniffing four hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes.
It's simple. How much you want to bet?
$100.
How about $1,000?
Dude, I'll take that bet right now. I never gamble, BT, you know me. Yeah. I'll do $100 right now.
How about I bet you this? If we can't have five each... If we have more than 5 in 10 minutes, you never go on the air again. Your dream is dead.
Jeez. Went from $100 to shutting down my career.
I'm just looking out for listenership of WFAN, trying to protect them from your nonsense, from your drivel.
Look, I gave you guys a realistic number. You're pumping
it's
it now.
It's too easy,
digits.
Dude. Honestly, you're understating. Like, hot dogs are easy.
That bun, unless you're going to actually do it like Joey Chestnut in the pros, where you're dunking the bun in
That's
the
gross.
Water. Well, so there you go. So you're eating dry hot dog and bun. You're going to quit after three.
There's no chance.
Not
no,
in 10
Bogus,
minutes. You're not going to get to that fourth
back?
In 10 minutes.
See, Bogus is a man of patience. He's a little daintier than we are. That's
dainty
the wrong
things.
Word. Not dainty. You know what I mean. I didn't mean it like that.
You did.
No, I didn't really. How many can you have in 10 minutes?
In 10 minutes?
Yeah.
I want to say I could have 5 or 6.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He goes 4. Can you do 4 in 10 minutes? I'm like,
that's what he said.
Yeah.
He's so off.
I could do 2 or 3 instantly. Then I don't know what.
Immediately.
Yes.
They got 2.5 hitters. As I said, 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Now time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
Yeah, like this. Oh, yeah. All right, so no Sal today. So Hop gets to sit in the studio, which means Patty B. We'll drop the questions on us. A little bald face lie, bald face truth. What do you got there, Pat?
That's right. All right, BT, we'll start with you here. Luis Gil coming off back-to-back rocky starts, taking the bloom off the rose of a season that looked like it was going to culminate and start in the All-Star game. Starting on May 1st, Gil went 7 straight starts, going 6 innings or more. Since then, it's been 4 straight starts under 6 innings pitched, specifically 5 2/3, 5 1/3, or 5+, I should say, 1 1/3.
They get a question in here at some point or no? I mean, this guy, every week he does it, he's like, I understand he wants some airtime. I remember Sal saying the same thing to you. Come on, get to the question, man.
Well, I'm giving you some good details. All right, so I know you said Heels start tonight. It's going to be the most important of the season.
Yes.
His over-under outs recorded tonight is 16.5, which equates to 5 1/3 innings.
Yeah.
Ball face lie, ball face truth.
Mm.
Luis Gil goes over 16.5 outs recorded, a.k.a. He pitches at least 5 2/3 innings.
Oh, my God. Yes, thanks for that last-second translation. Yeah. Bold-faced truth. I do think he's going to pitch well. I don't know that we see, 11 whiffs in 1 strike. I think that his command is off. And I'm also rooting this in hope as much as I am recent evidence. He has not pitched well. Even going back, you said last 2 starts. Last 4 or 5, going back to that Dodgers game where he was failing to put guys away when he was up at the count, been a little problematic. But I do think against the Reds here, there's only a handful of hitters in that lineup. You can navigate that. Bold-faced truth, he gets at least, 16 outs, whatever you said there?
Yeah, so he has to pitch at least 5 2/3.
Yep. Bold-faced truth. Hoff, what about you?
Definitely bald
you
face.
You hater.
Yeah, I know. But definitely bald face lie.
Hater.
Listen, Gil is struggling, but I don't think he's going to struggle a lot today. But he's still, his big thing is the whip. He has always allowed a lot of walks and hits, and that's where he struggles at. Maybe he won't give up a lot of runs, but he definitely won't get that 5 1/3+.
Just the pitch count's going to go up?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's been pecking away. Like, it's weird, too, because sometimes, young hitters, they struggle to put guys away because they nibble and they pick. He's just like, if you can visualize, his slider's like, it's off by a foot. Like, he's just off. So, I don't know. I actually see what you mean there. I'm thinking he bounces back, but I don't think it's crazy what Hoff just said. I got you.
Okay, Hoff. Next one's you. Keeping with the theme of young promising pitchers, we briefly mentioned just before the return of Christian Scott back up to the big leagues. Tyler McGill finally sent down.
Thank
as
God.
If we needed to wait any longer. Anyway, Christian Scott back in the rotation. He made five starts all in May to the tune of a 3.90 ERA across 27 and two-thirds innings. Starting tomorrow night in D.C., Baldface Live, Baldface Truth. Christian Scott will make a start in October this year.
Wow. Jeez.
Bold.
Ooh, this really puts him on the ropes here because now you get a sense. Does he really think the Mets still get to the playoffs? Does he think they make a trade for a starter? Go ahead. I'm all ears on this one.
It's a bald-faced lie because Christian Scott will not be part of their October plans. I think that with Senga, with Severino, and
Quintana.
I think Quintana's going to be gone regardless of what happens. I think he's going to be traded at the deadline no matter what. Huh. I still think that there's other guys that they will be bringing in. They're going to make a trade that's going to be for a starting pitcher that's going to have some length. It's not just going to be a half a year type of guy. That'll probably take over for Christian Scott where they won't need him to start. He may get like an inning or two. Maybe he'll be in the bullpen.
Setup man?
Yeah, he's not starting now.
So who's the third guy in that rotation? At Manaea as of now? Or you think it's Quintana's whoever they make a trade for?
He thinks he's going to get dealt. Quintana's going to get dealt.
I think Quintana's going to get dealt.
How about you sign Bauer?
I wish they would, but he's just not going to be touched. At this point in time, he's performing so well, and nobody wants him. I think it's not this year.
Yeah, well, if not this year, when? I hear you. All right, so I'm going to say that's a bold-faced truth. He will not be in the rotation for the Mets because he might be watching the Mets in the playoffs. He might be watching the playoffs, pardon me. He will not be watching the Mets in the playoffs because the Mets will not be there. They will narrowly miss out. This will be a fun summer. Go ahead. I know it's a segment here, but you want to push back on that. Now's your chance, Hoff. Come on.
You're crazy.
Mets are not going to the playoffs.
This team is riding high. They're winning the World Series. And I'm telling you right now,
the World Series.
This is the year. This team is so special right now. They have everything clicking. They have some of the listen, if you go through the history of this team, Pete Alonso, one of the best power hitters in the league. Jeff McNeil, former batting champion, which I know he sucks right now, but maybe something's clicking. He had a couple hits you hit the other day. Lindor's the best shortstop in the league.
You know what's clicking the meter on the taxi waiting to get his ass out of town.
By the way,
click,
BT,
click, click,
BT,
click. Come on, Jeff.
By the way.
I go to the airport. Click,
Francisco Lindor, the best war in baseball as a shortstop.
No, he's been good. He's been good.
Since 2021.
Fantastic. Who'd you rather have, Gunnar Henderson or him? Who would you rather have, Witt or him?
Well, but
they weren't here in 2021.
Exactly. Well, whatever. The point is that Lindor is one of the best shortstops in baseball.
He's confident. Listen, Hoff has been undeterred. And by the way, I want to make sure I stress this. Not just delusional, like, oh, the Mets are going to be a playoff team no matter what. Like, even when they were at their absolute apex, I thought you were pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
They were pretty calm, taking this in stride. Now, I think that it's a little nutty to think they're going to go to the World Series, but to think they're a playoff team, I think more people feel it than not, even though I don't think they get there.
Couldn't I just ask you one question, though?
Sure.
You know, and this may be nutty, but did you expect last year the Diamondbacks to make the World Series?
I did not.
Did we expect the Nationals in 2019 to go to the World Series?
Not when they were 19 and 31, I did not.
And that's my point, anything can happen.
And I'm not saying the door's not ajar. Like, coming into the season, I said no. I said 75, 76 wins.
Right.
Like, I didn't even allow my mind to wrap around the possibility because I just didn't think that they were good enough. I'm certainly granting you, there's a real chance. I think they only miss out by a game or two. But, I mean, if I think they're going to miss by a game or two, they very well can make it by a game or two. I'm giving them a chance.
No,
sure.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks.
That just falls short, though.
All right, I got one last quick one. Yeah. 4th of July on Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
Usually make sure to lock in at 12 noon for the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest.
I can't stay. I hate that. It's gross.
Well, this year?
I hate it every year.
Big shakeup.
Nasty.
That loser Joey Chestnut is out.
Loser?
Yeah, he's a loser.
Why is he a loser?
Well,
he's a champion.
Yeah, because then you had a dispute between him, Nathan's Major League Eating, and all of a sudden his big new handsomely paid sponsor, uh-huh, Impossible Foods, aka vegan hot dogs. So he's out of the competition. Instead, he's going to go against the old rival, Kobayashi, on Netflix on Labor Day. All about the money. I know. Joey Chestnut, loser. He can go scrap. So either, anyway, we're going to have a lot of guys. I'm sure there's going to be somebody that puts down close to 50. That'll probably be the winner.
Mm-hmm.
Baldface Live, Baldface Truth. You could put down, in a 10-minute span, 4 hot dogs.
1,000% bald-faced truth. Oh, I can hammer them. Now, well, I don't like it. I don't like the event because it's actually repulsive when they drink the water and like the bread liquefies and it looks like they got vomit. It's just it's visually gross. I can't. It's gross. But if you gave me like in 10 minutes and you gave me and I was fairly hungry, I could probably have no sauerkraut, just a little bread and mustard for 7-8 hot dogs. Hot dogs are amazing.
Well, not hot dog and bun.
No, I know. Oh, so 7 or 8 is probably a bit ambitious. 4, my eyes shut. Simple. I can do it in 4 minutes.
Yeah, I think this is
simple.
Like, Patty, is this what you're bringing when I'm not here?
Yeah.
I'm disappointed.
What are you doing?
This is like the easiest question. I think everybody in this building could eat 4 hot dogs
in 10 minutes.
Yes. First of all, I don't like hot dogs.
You don't?
Speaking. No, I don't. But they're so small. They're not like a hamburger. Hamburger's a little bit more meaty, juicy,
yeah,
and stuff like
steak.
That.
Steak.
Hot dog is a little bit. Listen, I know they're the Nathan, so they're a little bit thicker. But still, hot dog is an easy food to scarf down in 10 minutes. I could put down at least double digits, maybe 15. With ease. Listen, I talk to most people around here. I think it's, BT, I think you're underselling yourself too. You could be double digits. I've seen you eat pizza.
Maybe I could. Honestly, maybe. Yeah, I do. I eat fast.
I eat fast. You crush it.
I do. Because I have to, because we have to get back from break. And no, I eat the pizza fast. You're right. When Jen sent the heroes, I suck it down quick for my birthday last week. No, I am a fast eater to my chagrin. I just, you know what it is? Because my mind, like I eat fast. I got it from my dad. My dad eats fast.
Yes.
And I don't know if he grew up thinking somebody was going to reach around on the table and take it away from him. I don't know.
It's just a guy thing, dude.
It is. I want to get on to. I got a game to watch. I got to get a game to coach. I'm going to go hit golf balls. I just get like I always feel like I have something to do.
When Jen says, "Hey, BT or Brandon,
well, she never BT. Goes, never okay, BT,
Brandon, come sit down, have some dinner." Don't you get a little agitated? Like I got things to do. Like I'm just going to scarf real quick, and you'd be sitting there by
yourself.
Sometimes
I eat like yeah. Well, now when it's the family thing, which as you know, you have kids, it's yes. tougher with all the events going on. But when we do it, and we do try to do it, even with all the nuttiness, once or twice, try to do it twice a week, where we sit down, even if it's not a 5-course meal, we try to do it. You know, you get the family thing, say the prayer, just do the right thing for us. But when sometimes I just want to like eat by the island and just walk around and
yeah,
I mean I have a rough time sitting there, especially because it takes me forever to get my son to eat. Hurry up, finish. Come on, eat. And then I'm like, I can't watch this anymore. Jen, you watch. I got to go do what I got to do. Make sure he finishes eating.
Sundays at the Hoffman House is the pasta with the sauce, the meatballs, Italian bread. Nicole does it up all nice.
She does.
She does.
So you mean the gravy, not the sauce?
It's the sauce.
Are you serving meat with it?
Yeah,
that's gravy.
The bolognese.
Oh, then it's gravy.
No, it's sauce, dude.
No, it's gravy.
I understand that we will differ on
this. Hoffman's not Italian, so what would you know?
Well, Guarenta is and Casario is, and that's the other side. That's my other side of the family. And Yezzo, like my wife's name, Yezzo. She's straight up Italian.
Italian and Spanish, right?
JD. JD's half Puerto Rican.
That's right. Oh, what a combo. Well, a lot of emotions, a lot of good food, a lot of passion in that house.
A lot of emotions in that
house. That is a good one. All right, buddy.
I just want to reiterate, neither of you are sniffing 4 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes.
It's simple. How much you want to bet?
$100.
How about 1,000?
Dude, I'll take that bet right now. I never gamble, BT, you know me. Yeah. I'll do $100 right now.
How about I bet you this? If we can't have 5 each... If we have more than 5 in 10 minutes, you never go on the air again. Your dream is dead.
Jeez. Went from $100 to shutting down my career.
I'm just looking out for listenership of WFAN, trying to protect them from your nonsense, from your drivel.
Look, I gave you guys a realistic number. You're pumping
it's
it now.
It's too easy,
digits.
Dude. Honestly, you're understating. Like, hot dogs are easy.
That bun, unless you're going to actually do it like Joey Chestnut in the pros, where you're dunking the bun in
That's
the
gross.
Water. Well, so there you go. So you're eating dry hot dog and bun. You're going to quit after 3.
There's no chance.
Not
no,
in 10
Bogus,
minutes. You're not going to get to that 4th
back?
In 10 minutes.
See, Bogus is a man of patience. He's a little daintier than we are. That's
dainty
the wrong
things.
Word. Not dainty. You know what I mean. I didn't mean it like that.
You did.
No, I didn't really. How many can you have in 10 minutes?
In 10 minutes?
Yeah.
I want to say I could have 5 or 6.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He goes 4. Can you do 4 in 10 minutes? I'm like,
that's what he said.
Yeah.
He's so off.
I could do 2 or 3 instantly. Then I don't know what.
Immediately.
Yes.